Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your 1973 podcast. We're back. And back with the championship gold. We'll talk about that later. We got some bling, more stuff in the house, more kids to talk about. But first, we have to acknowledge for 2 weeks in a row, first time ever, the mouth of the South, not in the house. Shaggy, what do you think? What do you think the reason is?
I don't know. Hopefully everything's okay. I usually get a vague response. I'm sure it's something not very dramatic, but in its head it is.
He contract holdout.
Contract holdout.
yeah, he
Yep, for
probably taped
season
his
three.
wiener. He taped his wiener between his butt cheeks and it got stuck.
Allegedly.
That's what
My
it is.
conspiracy theory is that Chris is starting his own podcast and he's starting to recruit some of our people. He's
Hey,
poaching.
I may
Yep.
or may not have been requested. So, hey guys, you're on the
Yep.
clock.
Yep. If everybody gets off, Chris has turned in the new podcast to his version of AEW.
I told
So
him
it's
I'm
AEW.
in, but I'm not going to start until we hit the 100th episode.
Yep.
Maybe pop in once or twice for a couple seconds. Just a little scare tactic there. So speaking of Ed, we're going to go into his segment. One watch. Everybody knows the rules. So Shaggy,
Yes, sir.
it was your pick last week. So you start us off with the movie Cool Hand Luke.
All right, Cool Hand Luke, starring Paul Newman, is a 1967 movie directed by Stuart Rosenberg. It features George Kennedy, who won Best Supporting Actor. We might know him from our age group watching the Naked Gun series. There's a bunch of actors that I didn't realize were in it. Like Dennis Hopper was in it and stuff. I mean, not a big part, but all these guys, I'm like, oh, I recognize this guy from this movie and this guy from this movie. So it's pretty interesting. Takes place in a Florida prison, doing the old chain gang and stuff like that. And Luke just doesn't want to listen to the man. He wants to do his own thing. No one's going to hold him down. I'm going to give it an 8-2.
8-2. That's
I'm a Newman
you,
fan. I'm a Newman fan.
yeah. Thomas, I should have started with you.
That score that makes me
So,
want to buy a shirt.
I can do it
Haven't.
as my shout out instead if you
Okay.
want to wait.
Yeah, that's fine. I dropped the ball. A lot of stuff on the mind this week. A lot of road miles back and forth. So I'll after all these episodes, I finally botched it.
Edward, we need you, Ed.
We're falling apart.
Where's Ed when you need him? Missed his spot. Had one job, Andy. One
One,
job.
yep. Guy on the couch. Can't sell billboard ads without Ed. Phantom, what do you got for Cool Hand Luke?
Well, hey, Luke, good movie. Funny story about it. The first time I ever watched it was because we had to read the book in high school, and I opted for the movie. Made sure I didn't write Paul Newman instead of Luke. So think we did all right. Think we banged out probably a solid C. But no, as far as the movie, I think if you got any little bit of rebel in you probably like this movie just because it's pretty much what it's all about. Not a deep plot by any means. It's just kind of thing. It was funny. I hadn't watched it in so long that I forgot why he was in jail. And then when he was cutting off the heads off the meters, I was like, this guy was on the chain gang for cutting the heads off meters. But I liked it a lot. I'm not gonna go as high as Shaggy. I'm gonna come in at like 6-8.
Well, that's pretty low.
That's awful.
It's over 50%.
That
I
might
like
be his
that.
lowest score he's given. Jesus.
Hey, we're gonna get deep in the weeds. Had you seen it before, Ryan? Is it okay? Yeah. So you hadn't seen it since high school, or have you watched it since?
No, that's probably been a good 40 years.
Oh, yeah. So it's nice though
Oh.
because the opinions fluctuate like that though. Sometimes something you thought was epic when you were a kid, you watch it later on, and it's kind of meh. So with a trained eye, I guess. Professor, Cool Hand Luke.
All right. First off, I'll tell you that Darren said he thought it was a great script. He thought Paul Newman was awesome, and he had a little tidbit about George Kennedy when he was up for the supporting actor Oscar award, I should say. He used his own money. He used $5,000 of his own money to go out there and try to push himself a little bit to
get the award. But Darren gave it a 9, so he I think he averaged he evened Ryan's score out a little bit. But I thought it was
Absolutely.
a really good. I thought Paul Newman was great as Luke Jackson. I really liked the supporting cast. I mean, there was some guys that some really good character actors like Joe Don Baker, who was Buford Pusser in Walking Tall, the original one. You had Ralph Waite, who's from the Waltons. Harry Dean Stanton, who I mean, some of the younger people might, I mean, not younger, but might remember him from Quantum Leap, I think. And of course, Dennis Hopper. I thought it was good. I'm not going to go quite as high as Darren. I'm going with an 8-1.
All right, so we're going to go to a Southern gentleman, Bradford, Southern movie. What do you got?
Man, it's the it, you can't be a movie buff and not know Cool Hand Luke. I've seen it several times. It's been a while. Had to rewatch it. I rented it for a cool $2.46 off our Amazon Prime.
Write it off.
What's that?
Write
Write
it
it
off.
off. Yeah, right. I'll write it off. Right. But also, this movie is ingrained in so many different like facets of society and other movies and other literature and other shows. Cool Hand Luke just find you find itself everywhere. I love that he's like chopping the tops off of parking meters. I hate parking meters, traffic cans, all that BS to regulate. That's so dumb, man. This is a quick buck for the government. Digging his own grave bit, you see that in a lot of stuff now. The whole what we have here is a failure to communicate line. Guns N' Roses dubbed it, and little did I know until we were rewatching one of our favorites, the 1995 cult hit Major Payne, starring Damon Wayans. One of his opening lines is, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." So I love Cool Hand Luke. It's not a favorite movie. I literally won't go back and rewatch those old timer movies unless somebody like gives me a reason to. I feel like back then they had all star casts. Like it was just nothing to put all these guys into like Dirty Dozen type stuff. You know what I mean? It's like they all just roll together. I'm gonna give it a solid 7.9. 7.9 for my old classic type tip classic rebel movie, man. So fun to watch for sure.
So it's my pick this week, so we'll get to that after my score. But first, Ed did text in his score. His score is 8-3 for Cool Hand
Nice.
Luke.
Nice.
Yeah, I can tell Ed would really like this movie. That's definitely an Ed movie.
Right up
So
his alley.
before we started recording, I this movie is almost like a timeline of the start of great Hollywood movies to come. I think that I was telling Shaggy before we started recording that I thought, in my opinion, the 70s had the best bang for your buck movies. I know the 80s, it was big to go to the movies, but I think as far as blockbuster, timeless movies, this movie came out in 67. Then you got The Easy Rider after that. Then you got The Godfather. You know, all those movies, the first Star Wars movie and The Sting. One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest. They're just on and on and on for epic movies. And so this fits right in there with that, but probably at the start of it. I don't know if you guys noticed that the Joe McGrath from Slapshot was the head guy in the prison. I'm not sure if a lot of you guys picked up the old man from Slapshot that he was always going back and forth with was the guy in Cool Hand Luke that was running the camp, the old man with the famous voice there. So that was also a quick cameo between the two movies. Score for this movie, 7-7 from me. Just right there on the cusp. You know, it's a definitely a must watch. And you know, definitely an epic movie for if you're a movie buff, and I would be shocked if anybody hadn't seen that movie. Thomas, what do you got for a score?
Straight eight.
Straight eight. It's not bad. Brad, what do you think?
The IMDb rating for Cool Hand Luke, solid 8 out of 10.
See? We're on point. Phantom, you gotta know. We know movies. One thing we do know, movies.
You said we,
Definitely
not
know.
you. We.
We've been pretty on par with what IMDb scores their movies.
So, Brad, what do you think that says for the group as far as collective movie watchers?
Outside of what you guys thought of Rogue One, I think you guys are pretty on point.
Rogue 10, Brad. Rogue 10.
You guys
So,
have horrible taste in Star Wars movies, but great
next.
taste in other movies.
Speaking of great taste, my pick. I can already see Tom smiling.
I don't even know what it is, but
My pick for next week. Close to the heart. Great comedy. Cannonball Run. Gotta watch it. If you've
Cannonball
never
Run.
seen it, gotta watch Cannonball Run. If there's quotable movies, this is one of them.
I've
The
seen Cannonball.
Cannonball.
I've seen it.
Cannonball Run 2, you can throw it right in the garbage. Cannonball, the first one, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin are that movie. Their banter with Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise, the whole movie is that stuff that's made for comedy. So Cannonball Run for next week, your homework. We'll score it. Hopefully Ed will be back and we can. I'm sure he loves a good Cannonball Run.
Dude,
Burt
translate into the
Reynolds.
outtakes.
Burt Reynolds in Fast Cars, like that's like my childhood, man.
I mean, what's not to love about Burt Reynolds in the 70s? I mean, the Uber Southern action star, during the CB craze and a lot of the, there'd be no Dukes of Hazzard without those 70s Burt Reynolds type,
Nope.
White Lightning and Gator and all those movies.
Smokey and the Bandit is like my top three favorite films,
Oh,
dude, of all
we'll
time.
get to that because Jackie Gleason's character with some of the stuff that he said, you could never remake that movie with some of the stuff that he's saying. Just right
Oh
off the bat.
no, that movie's
Right off
been, yeah.
the bat. Brad's already laughing because he knows.
That movie's been shadow banned for life, man. Like that, yeah.
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 And how awesome, not I don't want to ruin our movie talk with Smokey and the Bandit, but when we get there, Jerry Reed, how good is he as a sidekick in that movie?
Oh yeah, dude.
He is not stealing anything away from Burt Reynolds. He's his own entity as the snowman. So him and
Perfect
Flash.
compliment. Perfect compliment to Burt Reynolds. Man, everything
Yeah,
about
he
that movie
sucked
was
at
great.
Smokey in part three.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Oh.
that one sucked.
Yeah. The second one's not too bad.
No.
Yeah. So that's it for One Watch. Everybody knows the rules. Straight eight for Cool Hand Luke. So let's move on. Brad, tell us about your experience this week with SmackDown.
Bro, I mean, I've been to a lot of sporting events, baseball, football, basketball, minor league, pro, you name it, man. I went to a couple hockey, local hockey shows, whatever you call them. We have never had quite such a memorable experience as we get when we go to watch WWE live events, man. Every single time whether it was Raw and Lucas got to hug Cody, Bad Blood, we were in the nosebleeds. We surprised Lucas, made some core memories. The Rock came out, surprised everybody. It was an epic show. SmackDown, we were four rows back. We were on TV at least 100 times. We got to meet Damian Priest that morning to meet and greet at Rouse's. It has just been phenomenal, man. Despite some of the shortcomings with the booking and the storytelling, the overall experience we've had going to these live shows has been absolutely incredible, man. If they come to your town, you've got to go. The whole arena was bumping, it was packed out. It's an absolutely incredible show, man. I can't wait for the next one. They announced New Orleans is a 2026 WrestleMania, so you know your boy is going to be buying a 2-day pass. Me and the fam, we're going. It's already been decided. Just went to see Taylor Swift without me. I'm going to WrestleMania, bro. All I got from that Taylor Swift concert was a hoodie, bro. I'm going to WrestleMania. Like it's happening. It's without a doubt. I will be there. I'm saying it right now.
So, Brad, I want to ask you about the I'm intrigued with all the stuff that we talk about in the conspiracy theory realm with the way The Rock was presenting the sell your soul to Hollywood type storyline. Thoughts?
It's a little over the top. I think if it was somebody else that was more Hollywood ready, I would be like my hairs would have stood up, you know. I can't see Cody making a jump to movies or having like some weird initiation ritual like they did to Cena, making him walk out naked for the Academy Awards. Even The Rock having to wear Tinkerbell tutus and stuff like that in movies. You know, every one of those big stars had some weird initiation ritual. Cody doesn't seem like that type. I'm trying to hold true that he's pure. I think The Rock did what he did last year. I'm taking it at face value. He shows up in WrestleMania season. He doesn't have anything going on. All his movies are done. And he just implants himself into the story writing. And since he owns such a big stake, Triple H just has to kind of call the audible and roll with it. And we went from Bad Blood. He showed up, and then they announced there was no storyline or point to that appearance. He just showed up because he wanted to now. He shows up on SmackDown, demands Cody's soul, is showing up to Elimination Chamber, and now he's fully embedded himself in a story that he's been building for a year without him. I don't know. It was weird. It was awesome seeing him. Holy shit, dude. Like, I was so far away, man, or so close. It was absolutely incredible being four rows back. But the whole time I was sitting there, like, what the hell is going on? Like, what are we doing with this story right now? I was a little lost. Like over my head, conspiracy theory shit was pinging. I was like, I don't know what's going on, man. Lucas loved it.
Thoughts on the possibility that Vince McMahon might show back up on Raw? That's been a buzz. Is it just
Nah.
clickbait, or what do you think? That's not it.
Clickbait. Clickbait. AI generated bullshit. Like, he's not coming back, dude. The federal investigation, I think the Fed said there's not enough for a case, but there's still enough for the civil thing. I think his name has been drugged so much, he's not coming back. And The Rock, I think, is just trying to be Vince McMahon 2.0, but The Rock is too squeaky clean. What people don't realize was Vince was being himself on TV. You know, yeah, that's hard to imitate, man. I would love to see Shane come back and do a Vince thing and or whatever. Like, having The Rock do it, it's, I don't know, it's weird. You can't be the people's champ from a whole dang childhood and then come out and be like the guy we hate on the most. Like, that doesn't jive with me. I don't know.
Well, don't forget, he started out as a heel with the Nation, so it's not like
I
it's.
know.
And
I
he's
know he did.
so
He
much better as a bad guy, though.
was the corporate champ first and everything. I get it, man. But I think they need a heel. The Rock is a part-time wrestler, part-time personality. We need an actual heel. Where's Roman Reigns at? What is he doing? What is this deal with Solo and Jacob Fatu? Why are they feuding? Jacob should be the heel, but we love him, right? He's not like him being a heel is not working because we love him. When Solo came out, bro, he got shitted on so much on SmackDown, bro. But and then people were cheering for Jacob so hard. And then where's the heel, man? Cody has to turn. That's what the soul thing is. He's got to turn.
I think The Rock screwed everything up. He's the storylines are so discombobulated right now, and
Everywhere.
that they're like throwing things together right now to try to get everybody a match at WrestleMania. I mean, it looks like it's going to probably be Fatu versus Solo at WrestleMania eventually, but I just think The Rock kind of threw everything into I think it just showed up, not really telling anyone and telling being the boss that he is. Just telling everyone that he wants to be involved somehow, and so now they're scrambling, and you can kind of see it. I mean, SmackDown was a little bit discombobulated, and from what I read, they had to cut, I guess, one of the women's matches, and well, I mean.
They cut Liv Tyler's or Naomi and Liv. No, Naomi and Raquel were supposed to wrestle, and then or not Liv Tyler, Liv Morgan. I do that every time.
All right,
But
Brad.
so they came out, and instead of having a match, they just like beat each other up, and then nothing happened. But that's the one they cut. But originally I heard that Cody's title defense wasn't even going to be main event for WrestleMania. It's going to be one of those show openers, which you know they're not dropping the title. It's not changing hands on a show opener. And the main event was supposed to be a triple threat with Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins. That's supposed to be the main event. But now with The Rock coming in, I don't know. He told us all. He said enjoy the show, man. So Sit back, you jabronis, enjoy the show. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm Mike Tomlin. I don't know what's going on.
Did you see the Undertaker quote saying that there's too many smart fans now and not the fantasy book the show anymore, and
Yeah, I sent that to y'all.
just watch it and enjoy it and all that other stuff. But if you're invested, of course it's harder to book the show when they haven't come out and said that, it's sports entertainment. When it was still the kayfabe days, you're invested in a different way. Now that, it's entertainment and you see people that you think you can do a better job than, writing storylines or booking shows. I mean, it's just, there's so many angles that they could rehash. I mean, Jacob Fatu could be the modern day Jimmy Snuka. I still think that they could turn him into something like that, just like a new coat of paint on that type of thing. So, I mean, he does the moonsault, so it's the same thing as the Snuka Splash, just in reverse. So whatever. Wrestling news, anything to add there, Phantom?
No, I was just gonna say that rock thing was that thing was hitting me big time. Star Wars, Darth Sidious and Anakin Skywalker. That's kind of what I was getting out of it. I was like, I thought it was pretty good. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it was decent, and I was at least intrigued by it. When it, when he kind of did the thing for the soul, it was like a soul. And I don't know. I think they can go a lot of different ways with that now.
Yeah.
And
As
I'm
long.
kind of curious if the part where the buddy buddy part that was from before. I think maybe it was even a part of the story. Just to kind of get, for him to get that closeness to be able to say, like, oh, I'm your guy. Kind of interesting.
As long as we get one step closer to Homelander, I don't care what The Rock does or where it takes us, dude.
I want to see what he does to actually get him to turn. I think at first it's gonna be, nope, can't do it. And then he's gonna keep showing, like, offering, and then finally he's gonna take it, and then when he does, it's gonna be, see you later, going the other way.
What about if it? Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, no, go ahead. This is another wrestling thing I want to talk about in a second, but.
I was just gonna say, what happens if they swerve the fans and Cena's the one that turns heel?
That'd be cool
He
too.
goes with The
That's,
Rock.
I don't know, man, because Cena's been so adamant not to turn heel and put other people over. I honestly don't think, looking at the Elimination Chamber and the roster that is, Logan Paul's not taking the title. Damian Priest isn't going to take the title. Drew McIntyre isn't going to take the title. That leaves Cena, Seth, and CM Punk. I don't think Cena's going to do it because he's all about putting the biz over, right? That's his thing. It's always been his thing. He's not going to go in there and win that and then go into WrestleMania and beat Cody. That's not happening, dude. And then so I don't see Seth and CM Punk doing it either. So like this Elimination Chamber, I'm already like not even excited for. I don't think there's a story for it there.
What if it ends up being like, say it ends up being Punk versus Cody, but now The Rock's out there on Cody's side, and everybody's waiting for him to see if he's going to help him cheat to win the belt, and then they cash in the favor for Roman Reigns maybe to have Paul Heyman cash in Roman Reigns to actually help hit him to screw over The Rock, and then you can end up finally having that Rock Roman Reigns match because he screwed up his plans.
Well, there's going to be
Maybe.
something to put a cap in that, right? For they usually end their fiscal year kind of with WrestleMania and then kind of start that next.
Look how they ended WrestleMania last year, where they had everybody was out there. So maybe they'll work towards something like that, where they're gonna have all kinds of guys coming out, and you don't know who's gonna turn, and then at the end, someone's gonna end up turning on somebody.
Thomas?
Oh, I was going to ask Brad, what he thought of Ricky Starks changing his name.
I'm not mad at it. I mean, he changed it to Ricky Saints. He's from Louisiana. I think he might actually be from New Orleans.
Yeah, he is.
And on SmackDown, when R-Truth was like, I got a Louisiana native, he's gonna, tag with me. The whole crowd was like, it's Ricky Saints, Then it wound up being Louisiana Night, which was hilarious. Sidebar, R-Truth right now is killing the game. And I'm kind of a fan of the Miz and Mello right now. Like, it's Mello can't Miz. Like, I'm bought in. I'm not mad at it, dude. Like, he trademarked his name so WWE and other, entities couldn't steal that from him, man. I'm not mad at that. Like, trademark it, protect your personal property, dude. That's what that is, man. Not mad at that. Look at Walk with Elijah. That guy, he came out on TNA. He used to be Ezekiel and Elias, and I don't know how many other names he's and personalities he's had in wrestling, dude. Like, also him showing up on TNA was pretty awesome. So.
Thomas, you want to move on and do some shitty picks?
Sure. All right. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. Now, I want Scott and Darren to listen up because they say we never talk basketball. So here's their 2 minutes of basketball right here, my pick. I don't have any sports besides basketball to really make a pick in because hockey's just coming back and baseball's and I'm not going to do an exhibition game. So this week, the game of the week is probably tomorrow night, actually. Minnesota Timberwolves against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's in Oklahoma City. It's probably going to be a matchup of probably the Western Conference Finals, but I'm going with Oklahoma City being at home. I think mainly because it's in Oklahoma City. They've had two games this year. They've been each team has won at home. I think it's basically which player it's going to be battle of the two best players in the Western Conference. Well, I won't say best players, but two of the top five best players in the Western Conference with Anthony Edwards and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think they're going to cancel each other out, and it's going to be a who's going to get the best supporting cast support from the supporting cast. I think Oklahoma City's got a little bit more depth, so I'm going to go with Oklahoma City in that game.
All right, so staying on the sports topic before we move any closer to the tinfoil hat, let's talk about one game. USA versus Canada. Shaggy, thoughts on that game?
It was a great game. I know everyone's complaining about how it ended, how do you leave the best player alone, but I have honestly think it had to do with just everyone's getting tired by it. Come overtime, USA had their shots. Binnington showed up big and made the saves that they needed, but at the end, I think it just fatigue came in, and eventually it's the legs don't work like they used to.
Do you think that it adds more drama to next year's Olympics?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping like the next time they do this, you get more nations. Like I like to see a Czech Republic team and God forbid a Russian team. Like I think it'd
Oh,
be great to see those.
well, they should be competing in the Olympics, especially for Russia. So
Yeah.
you'll get the Malkin Ovechkin tandem,
Yep.
maybe one last ride. So, Thomas, thoughts on the game?
I thought it was a good game. I just think when Matthew Tkachuk, he probably shouldn't even been playing. I mean, granted, he's trying to gut it out, but he kind of hurt the team. They were down another forward right there. I think that contributed to the guys getting tired by overtime. But the guy I was disappointed with the whole tourney was Jack Hughes didn't show up. Guy had, I think, 1 point, maybe two for the whole tournament. He really disappointed me. 23 years old, supposed to be a budding superstar, and he didn't. He basically, you never really saw him on the ice. He didn't really do anything. He was just there. But I got to give Billington, as much as I hate Billington, the guy showed up. I mean, he was unbelievable, and especially the third period in overtime. But as Big Poppy and the Yankees, the feud, who's your daddy? I get as much as we want to say we're U.S., Canada's our daddy in hockey still.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Brad.
Does the Four Nations thing happen on like a regular basis?
Show up
And
for
is
the
it
first
always
time.
the same Four Nations?
This is
This
the
was the
first
very
time.
first year they've done it. They've done other things like this, but this is the very first time that they did it. Instead of stopping for an all-star game, they did this instead, and I think it went over well.
So there's not going to be an NHL All-Star game
Not
no.
this
because
year.
it was
No.
this instead.
Yep.
And what determined the four nations that to compete?
No
Biggest
idea.
rosters, most players in the league from those countries.
They were going
That's
for bang for
impressive.
buck, I think.
I think that too. They like next year with the Olympics is the first year that the pros are going to be back in it because the NHL wasn't allowing the players to go because they didn't want to stop the season for the players to go into the Olympics. So this was kind of like an exhibition tournament just to get people fired up for the Olympics, which it worked. But the thing that everybody got fired up about was the fighting and the physicality. And in the Olympics,
Not happening.
you can't fight in the Olympics.
No.
You'll be out.
Yeah.
So you're not going to, first off, you're not going to have that. And second off, when they play in the Olympics, the ice surface is way bigger. So it's not really conducive for a physical game. It's like a speed game and a skill game. So it's actually what Tom was saying about Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes will probably still be on the team in the Olympics, and it'll be more suited for him where he's a small guy. And when they were playing best on best, there was like zero room on the ice. Like even McDavid, other than the game-winning goal, had no room whatsoever just because everybody was just that damn good. So the Olympics is always really pretty much the epic of hockey. Everybody really dials in when the Olympics come. It'll be nice to see the pros back in.
I just looked at the ratings for the game. So the first game, the Saturday night game, had 4.4 million viewers. The Thursday night game, 9.3 million viewers.
Isn't
That
that
is
good, huh?
absolutely epic for today's market with, streaming and everything like that. To get that many viewers, that's phenomenal. So at least the only thing I said it last week is the Olympics are tough because they're not on prime time. So you got to kind of, if you want to watch games live, you got to kind of search for them. And then, depending on where it's in Greece,
Europe. It's in
or
Europe, yeah.
that, so the time difference will probably be, early in the morning or maybe in the afternoon if they're ahead of us in time. So
Yeah.
maybe get home from work and watch a game instead of staying up till, 11 o'clock at night to watch a game. So, Brad, you ready? All right, Thomas, it's time for some tinfoil hat. Take us there.
All righty, Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21. Here's to you, Brad.
Excellent book. I happen to know the author. He keeps shamming me. He won't give me a signed copy. Anyway, today's tinfoil hat. Let me pull up. I don't need a screenshot. I just got to pull up my notes. So I want to talk about the fog. Have you guys noticed the fog?
The
And
movie?
we're kind of like a week or two late on it. But a few weeks ago, this very thick, obnoxious fog rolled through basically like the entire United States from one coast to the next coast. It just was swept across the country. And a lot of folks started to correlate this fog that rolled in out of nowhere. And it was thick, it was obnoxious. We had it down here in Mississippi on the coast for days. And we were just locked in the mornings. Look, being a weather nerd and doing weather for the Air Force, I know one thing. Fog burns off by 10, 11 o'clock in the morning at the latest. This fog stayed. It lingered all the way to the afternoon. And then when I got off work, I went out to fish at the marina on base, and the fog rolled in by like 4:30, 5 o'clock. I was like, this fog is something unreal. And so I did what anybody would do. I went and found all the old timers out there around the marina, all the old fishermen, all the old boaters. And I was like, hey, just curious, man. Have you ever seen a fog like this before? And they're like, nah, never. Never seen this in my life. And these are old dudes, man, and experienced fishermen and mariners, and they had no idea why or how, had no recollection of a fog being that obnoxious and that thick, that persistent. So the other thing with this fog was that folks on TikTok started getting together, like, hey, what's up with the fog? What's up with the fog? Like, yeah, the fog rolled in. Everybody got sick. All the kids at school got pneumonia. All the kids at school got the flu. I'm like, y'all are so full of shit. I ain't even gonna entertain that. That is even too wacky for me to comprehend as a conspiracy theory. Until we got this sweeping fog. It rolled in. Literally was down here for a whole week. As soon as the fog cleared up, guess what happened? Every kid in the dang school district came down with the flu. Now, can we say, hey, is there meteorological reasoning to explain the fog? Yes. Is it flu season? Yes. Do they both happen at the same time as a coincidence? Yes. However, when I went back, I got to go Google shit. I went back and looked up Operation Sea Spray. The US Navy conducted an experiment in the 50s where they sprayed a bunch of bacteria into the fog and let it roll into San Francisco. So I'm like, is it really that far out of the realm of possibility to sit here and say the government, maybe it's a one of our adversaries, wasn't spraying some shit into some fog to go and get everybody sick? I don't think it's that far reached or far fetched. And then I had to, go look up the Tuskegee syphilis study, which if you're even on the outskirts of conspiracy theories, you know that the government very famously infected 600 African American men in Alabama with syphilis, didn't tell anybody, and then sat back and watched them for a period of about 40 years until they could measure the study of untreated syphilis. Not even for like any national defense reason, they just wanted to study syphilis. So the government is definitely capable of some wacky shit. I don't know if the fog and the sickness thing correlates because there is a lot of kind of sound reasoning of why we had the fog in this flu season, but for it to happen so coincidentally, I don't know. It definitely raised the hairs on the back of my neck.
So, Brad, you're saying in the 1950s, the Navy sprayed stuff into the fog and blew it into San Francisco. That's what you're saying.
It was bacteria, dude.
Okay. All
They
right.
wanted to test the effects of a bioweapon and if they could spray it into some fog and let it roll through a city. That's all it was.
Operation Village People.
I was waiting for you to say after the fog, after the fog went away, you're peeing fire.
Yeah. If it burns when you pee, that's something else, fellas.
Allegedly, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Thomas, thoughts on fog that makes your pee burn?
I did not know anything about this when Brad ta sent us the thing that said what he was going to talk about. I've been off of most of social media and I don't watch the news at all anymore since about the election. So I had to go and kind of dive into it, and it's pretty scary. Not scary, but like you said, I mean, you don't put anything past the government right now. And it's two and two. Sometimes you got to just look at the math and it adds up. I mean, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's the government and some sort of like a bio warfare, I guess.
Shaggy, I can tell you want to add.
I knew nothing about the fog. I just know
Right?
it's cold as hell up here, so there was no fog, but definitely flu and pneumonia is going around rampant around here. So,
Phantom, thoughts on the fog and Adrian Barbeau?
oh, the swamp thing. Yeah, no, I'm not buying fog flu. I'm calling BS on that
The double F, the fog flu.
one. Fog flu.
Brad, do you want to close out this week's tinfoil hat with anything that you want to add?
Yeah, go get on TikTok, man. There's a lot of crazy tinfoil hat stories about not just fog flu, but this fog pneumonia, fog sickness, and even in Florida, people were reporting the fog had like a chemical, like oil, like gasoline chemical smell.
Yeah, showing. I saw a couple of videos where people were showing their filters, their air filters in their houses, and they were black. I mean,
So I don't know, like being of like a weather background in the military, I can definitely explain away the fog. Like, yeah, that's it. But the way that the fog correlated with this flu outbreak down here is too big of a coincidence. We were doing good. I mean, I know it's flu season. My wife's a kindergarten teacher. I know it comes in waves. It's odd to me that when it hits like one area, it hit us. Shaggy, you said it's hitting up there, right?
yeah, it
Tom,
did.
it's hitting there. It's just weird to me, like how a sickness will hit in one spot and it just like sweeps all the way through the country. Like
Yeah.
it's wild to me. Today's technology, medicine, you telling me we don't have We can't control the spread. It just and it just it that's literally what it does, man.
I wonder
The
if it has to
movie.
do with like where the where it's been like way more colder than normal and everybody's inside rather than being, say like down south, you guys probably outside more than we are. We seem like we get sick, we people start getting sick once it hits that Christmas vacation between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and after that everybody's sick, but we're all cooped up. We don't go outside until it starts hitting close to May. So maybe you guys are getting a little of the north treatment down there.
I was told I usually get a flu shot every year. I was told by somebody in the close to the medical field this year not even to bother getting the flu shot, and I didn't because they said that they made the flu vi the whatever you want to call it, the flu shot, they made it for the wrong variant. So they said it's not going to be as effective on the variant that is most prolific right this year. So I didn't even bother getting it this year.
I used to get it every year because the military made me. And since I've been out, I don't get it. I still don't get the flu. I mean, every morning I wake up, I take a zinc and a magnesium supplement, dude, and I don't get sick. I take allergy medicine on the reg. I take my creatine. I sound like a Joe Rogan podcast right now. But I got this. Not from Joe Rogan. I got this from a guy who's a personal trainer, and I don't get sick, guys. I mean, I don't know. Like, I never had COVID. I don't get sick. Like, knock on wood, I don't get sick. I don't know if I have like super genes. I don't know. I don't get sick. My wife and kid both had COVID numerous times. I don't get it. They get the flu, they get the stomach bug, they get down. I don't.
Can we
I
get a
take
sponsor
zinc.
from Super Jeans?
I don't know, man. I'm super
Those like
sore
DoorDash?
now. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I take my magnesium, I take my zinc, I take my vitamin C, I stay hydrated. I have liquid IV electrolytes. I dump in my water every other day. I exercise. I get plenty of sunlight, dude. I don't care if it's 30 below. I find an excuse. I go outside, I walk, I get my sunshine. I live in Mississippi, Shaggy. It's never going to be 30
I'll say
below.
30 below. He's bullshitting.
Ever. I could say that with confidence. The coldest we got was like 20 degrees
I'm like, I'm
for
indoors
like a
at 20,
day.
like 30 below. But
For
come
like a day. Let me have my moment, Shaggy. But I go out and I get my sunshine is a natural healing element, though. RFK Jr. is pushing sunlight. While we're on the tinfoil hat, did you know when skin cancer peaked? Do you guys know when the stats for skin cancer took off? And this is not hidden or they're not even trying to cover up this knowledge. It's when sunscreen was invented in the 1950s. Go look at the stats when 1950s sunscreen was pushed out for everybody, rubbing all that bull crap on your skin. That's when skin cancer took off.
Maybe.
What the fuck was that?
What was
Don't ask.
that? Oh, Shaggy's getting yelled at by the wife.
It's one of those things, man. Like, go get some sunlight. It's a cure-all, dude. It helps your mood, helps your immune system, gives you a great complexion. It makes the white hair stand out.
So let's wrap up this episode before Shaggy gets yelled at, but I'm gonna start with Shaggy for a shout out. What do you got this week?
Oh, to me, shout out to my buddy Shane. He turned a big 5-0 this week. I'm not there yet, thank God, but we're getting there.
You old. Thomas, what do you got this week?
I want to give a shout out to my brain because I've been sick for like the last 2 weeks, but I've still been doing my classes online, and this is the size book that I have to. This is only one of three books for the coding. It's 1500 pages, and my brain didn't explode. So there you go.
You go. The next thing you know, you'll be editing the podcast, Thomas.
Could happen sooner than you think.
Phantom, what do you got this week?
Oh, I'm gonna shout out my oldest. He's in a game design class. He gave the old man a chuckle today. Comes in, him and he's got a little crew there. Whatever they're making their game, so he's showing it to me. Tell me if this game sounds familiar to you. Now,
Custer's Revenge.
it's like 8-bit, so it's a simple design.
Pac-Man. No.
Two tanks cruising around.
No.
What you got?
Already know Atari.
Yep.
Tank from Atari. War.
Combat.
Yeah. Oh,
Yep.
yeah.
Combat. Combat. Dude, this
Yep.
game. I'm looking at it. Oh, check this out. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, I've seen this game before. He's like, you have? And I'm like, yeah. Atari 2600,
Came with it.
1982. Dude, the fucking thing looks exactly like it. And he's like, well, we haven't really put the graphics on the tanks or nothing yet, but they just got like the basic part. Dude, straight up was exactly combat. I said to him, I'm like, how old's your teacher? He's like, I don't know, he's probably like in his 40s. Like, oh, you're safe, because if that guy's like 40s or 50s, he's gonna be like, you guys ripped the shit off.
Don't make Pitfall next. I missed that
Oh
one.
man, so
It
funny.
came with the system. That's the one
That's
that
right.
came with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Brad, you
Crazy.
have that?
What's
Brad,
that?
you have Atari 2600?
No. I had the right. We did get the Nintendo when it first came out, though. You got Mario and Duck Hunt. We had that this huge boxed in TV. The TV set was only this big, but like the cabinets around it was gigantic.
20 inches.
Yeah,
Yep.
and my little like child brain couldn't fathom or understand how I could shoot this gun with no like projectile, but still kill a duck on the TV. Like I was so messed up over
We
that.
up in the north, we skipped right past the duck hunt, and we went right to pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yep.
Still a great game.
King of
Great
the Ring.
game.
Still got it somewhere.
Shout out I'll let Brad finish this week. I'll just shout out to the two kids. I called it last week. They had a big weekend. Massachusetts State champion. I got the medal just to show you. Got the my daughter's on cloud nine, 3 years in a row, game MVP out of those 3 years. She's won 2 out of the 3 years for that tournament. And yeah, it's just so busy, so overwhelming, waves of emotion, seeing parents lose their mind, seeing other parents crying, seeing families crying, seeing 14-year-old kids crying that are going to high school because they won a state championship. It was absolutely crazy. Just two sides of it, the yin and the yang, the mad parents that are calling everything, and the game went to OT. They they came from behind to win it in overtime. It was epic stuff.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you drove home wearing that?
I did not. My son fell asleep in the car because he was so exhausted. I just brought it for proof for all the naysayers that don't believe the hype. The Clack kids were on point this weekend. So for all the I'll you know what grinds my gears, Thomas? I'll
Yes.
tell you. I wasn't gonna say this, but now you got me pumped up. This championship, see, hate is a hell of a motivator. And one of the things that for all the coaches that shun those kids, kicked them to the side, wouldn't play them, didn't give them the time of day, said they weren't good because my daughter was a girl and they always stuck her on defense. She couldn't play with the boys, blah, 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 blah. I say, give me the Iron Sheik on that one. They got medals to prove it. So, Brad, take us home.
I might be out of the loop. Your daughter is playing on like boys hockey teams or like an all girl
She
league?
has. She has. She'll dip her toe in the water every now and then and play with them, but
Dang.
mostly all girls now.
That's impressive, man. Congrats to the Clark household, man. That's a big weekend at U Sports for sure. Tom, welcome back. I know you've like been showing up, but you've been sick. It's good to have you back. I appreciate, the canter, the conversation. Ed, where are you at, buddy? Come back. We can't have you and Chris ghosting us. We gotta have you back. So come back, Ed. I miss you.
I believe that with this podcast, there is a counterbalance with Thomas and Ed. The guy that's all in with stats and the guy that would rather watch TV while he does the podcast. So for this week, fellas, we're going to wrap it up and we'll see you next week. And it's always fun.